Christy's here. Johan, Tina, Tatiana, Mike Suddy. Okay, well, we'll start with our agenda. And I'm going to ask Bill. I didn't hear if Joe was on, but...
Yes, I am on.
Hi. The two of you want to fill us in on what's going on at NIH relative to CFAS in particular, but any NIH grants as you can see fit and what you know about.
Yeah, so I, can everyone see the screen that I'm sharing?
No.
It's NIH.
I don't, for some reason, mine's not
okay.
Working.
Well, I had Jill send some of the links in her email, and so I was just going to take a little time to walk us through some of these web pages, but all the links are in the email. I think we all understand that these are challenging times. Not only are we having major disruptions in our personal lives, but in our livelihood. And so NIH understands that this is disrupting your research, and we want to help you through this. We would strongly encourage everyone to go to the NIH website that is dealing with the extramural issues. And that's the page that I'm showing you right now. Jill had sent the link. This would be our COVID-19 information for NIH applicants and recipients of funding. As you can see here, this page is being updated regularly. It's a fluid situation, obviously, but we are putting out guide notices. If you scroll down here under guidance, these are 3 to 4 of the recent notices that we've sent out, and they deal with things like late applications, whether financial reports, progress reports can be late, is rebudgeting allowed at this time? So I would suggest going to this section right here, which is the guidance section. I do want to step back and say that NIH wants to be accommodating during the situation and provide maximum flexibility. Okay, so everything we're doing, we're really trying to provide maximum flexibility for the applicants and for our grantees. A couple other things I do want to point out. For those doing human subjects research and clinical trials, there's this section here that are some guidance on how the NIH is responding to the issues that you all are going through with the, many universities are putting studies into maintenance phases, so that some of those issues are addressed in that guidance. Let's see. For those that are doing animal research, there's a guide notice about that, in addition to a webinar put on by the Office of Laboratory Animal Welfare on how to handle dealing with animals during a pandemic. There is also an FAQ section here at the bottom, which will be updated regularly. And again, we're just trying to provide maximum flexibility to our researchers. So, you know, we don't have all the answers right now, but we are working through some of the policy issues. If we don't have the answers right now, we'll hopefully have them soon. That's pretty much all I wanted to mention. I would also recommend that folks view this video here on the right-hand side from Mike Lauer, who is the director of the Office of Extramural Research. It's about a 9-minute video. I think it's helpful to answer some of these questions that you may have. Let's see. These are just some of the other links that I had sent Jill to forward. You may just want to check them out. But The main page, which is this page here, is one that you probably want to look into and have your administrators at the universities be monitoring as well. So with that, Ed, I'll turn it back to you guys. I do have to get off this call in about 10 minutes to jump on another one, but maybe we can just open it up to some questions that you might have.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to this rather quickly in the call because I know that people have to leave. So I wanted everybody to get to hear you and be able to ask you any questions. So let's open it up, and if anyone has any issues or concerns that they think Bill might be able to address at this time, ask away.
Hi, Bill. It's Joanne. I think probably most people are facing the same thing as we are, in that the study, our adult health study, is on hold. We obviously can't recruit and bring people in. The university is closed, and basically they're a vulnerable population anyway. But, of course, we're still paying salaries to everyone through this period. Hopefully it'll be short. But I guess that's where some shortfall may happen ultimately.
So there is some guidance, Joanne, about paying salaries. And if your institute's allowing it, obviously it can be charged to an NIH grant.
Yeah, they're allowing it. The issue is how you use up the money faster than your study is on hold, but the salaries go on. We're allowed to do it. Everyone's being supported. All of that is great. We are very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
But it's sort of the long-run implications of that.
Yeah, depends how long it goes on.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on how long it goes on. I think right now we're kind of at the stage where we're allowing it. Whether additional funds or administrative supplements, whether those become available, I think that's something the NIH OD is discussing. But I really don't have an update for you right now. Go ahead.
I said fair enough. I mean, this is evolving. Yep. I totally understand.
Yep.
And I'm clearly not the only one doing this. It affects everyone, I think, in the consortium.
Yeah, let me back up and do make let you guys know that if the research is impacted, it would be helpful for you to send us a short email, just stating what you just stated, Joanne.
Okay.
Some of the CFAS grantees have already done this, and what we'll do is we're going to send out an official reply with the links that I've already sent. But the importance of this is to allow Abe Batista at our institute to track those projects that are being affected. So I know Claire, Sarah, Jeff, and I think Christy have already done so. And for those that have not, just send Joe and myself an email briefly stating the situation, that the university is putting certain policies in place, that, how that's impacting your human subjects research or your animal research. We will reply with a official email and copy Abe Batista and Judy Fox, our grants management chief, so that they can track the grants that are being affected. Ultimately, all the grants will be affected, but that's what we're doing right now. So I would say after we get off the call, if you guys could shoot us a quick email and we can start adding your grants to the list that Abe's tracking, that would be helpful for everyone.
Perfect. That's great. Thanks.
Sure.
Hey, Bill.
This is Chris. Oh, go ahead.
Real quickly, Bill. Somebody in my institution directed me today to Section F2 in the RPPR, so we're all probably doing progress reports around this time.
Mm-hmm.
There is a section where you can comment, and probably all should comment, on the fact that the COVID-19 situation is affecting research. So there's an official, seems like that's an official way to communicate that in the progress report.
Yes. That would be helpful. In addition to the progress report, I think our progress reports for CFAS are due here in a week or so. maybe April 1st. So I don't know if any of them are going to be late. If they are going to be submitted late through your institution, that's completely fine. Just shoot Joe an email and maybe copy your grants management specialist that's on the awards. If in fact your university is going to be late submitting them, it's completely fine. Again, it's one of those things we're trying to make accommodations and increase flexibility. So don't worry if you know the progress report's going to be late by a few days.
Okay, great.
Any other questions, concerns?
This is Tina. Could I just ask, and maybe I missed it because I was not on the first 5 minutes, but do you want in our progress report a specific statement about whether we anticipate COVID-19 is going to have impact on the next funding period activity?
Well, so the progress report should be getting a little feedback here.
Yeah.
Let me try it again. The progress report really is from the reporting period that the past year that we've just had. So I would say you could make a comment if it's impacted, say, the last month of your research for the reporting period. I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to put that in the progress report, that it will affect your research going forward, Tina, but I would say where you want to state that is in the email that you would send Joe and I, just giving us an update, the one that we're going to send to Abe Batista. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Bill? So I'm going to ask, has anyone heard if RSA is canceled?
It's not yet canceled.
I'll tell you, I've heard unofficially because I got a notice from the Hyatt saying my reservation was canceled, and I hadn't canceled it. So I emailed Debbie, and she said, Hyatt jumped the gun. They're going to send out an announcement. They're going to cancel.
Okay.
I assume that'll be coming out shortly.
Especially as Louisiana is apparently going to burst forth with a very severe problem with the COVID very soon.
It's the next hot spot, apparently.
Yeah.
One of my colleagues also had their reservation canceled today.
Yeah, when the notice came in, I was just shocked. And I thought, I didn't do this. This is some error. And then I realized, and I made it through the hotels, through RSA. So I realized must be happening anyway, Debbie responded.
So RSA is canceled pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, even if the epidemic is on its way down and getting under control, you're not going to arrive in New Orleans and a hotel with 2,000 people. It's not going to happen.
So, Bill, in looking at the link that you sent about travel and things like that, I guess NIH still has not decided on how they're going to deal with R13s and whether or not how to deal with non-refundable tickets and hotel reservations, et cetera. Is there any update on that? I can't hear you, Bill.
Sorry, I was muted. So I'm sharing my screen again. There is a guide notice I'm looking for right now. I think it's this one here.
It just says it's under consideration.
Yeah, so there are three or four questions here about travel and R13s. I would say in terms of the R13 that you're the PI on, contact Svetlana, the program officer. I think we're still working through the policy on how that will be taken into consideration. So that would be my first, your first step, Ed, is just to reach out to the program officer and the grants management specialist on the award. Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. And it just, here's the link, and we're still in the process of deciding how to deal with this. So, but as the PI of an R13, on a meeting that's been canceled, I'm getting inquiries from the individuals impacted of whether or not anything's going to be done. So just wanted to ask.
So is your question whether expenses can be paid for this year or if the R13 can be extended?
Well, the question I'm getting is, I bought a non-refundable airline ticket. What do I do?
Yeah. My understanding will be that they will be able to charge the grant for that award, but don't do that yet until you hear from the program officer.
No. Any other questions for Bill?
No, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Don't hesitate to email us also if you've got questions.
Michael, are you still on there?
I am still on.
You want to give us an update on COVID-19? Seeing from front lines?
You know, all I can say is we're at the beginning of our surge, and we expect probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks to be overwhelmed. We're planning to expand our hospital beds, by 200 or 300, looking for places to put people. And we're trying to keep people healthy in the meantime so that we have them, we have a small number of cases now. But looking at New York, New Orleans, which we've been talking about, at the VA in New Orleans, they have almost 60 cases now with 16 on ventilators, then they're going to 200 in the next week or so. Hopefully we'll be rise to come down with it, and everybody is, I think, up to it.
All righty. Any questions for Michael about it?
I've been... Okay. Injecting myself with immune bat serum.
How's it going?
What are the side effects?
I feel like I'm a lot smarter than I used to be. I think it's good for the brain.
The question is, are they stockpiling malaria drugs for you?
We have enough to treat a significant number of patients. Remdesivir is going to be scarce, I think, for everybody, and we'll see what else comes along as this goes. The information, if you just look at the number of papers, it's very difficult to keep up, and this thing is only a few months old.
Okay. All right, Jill, do you want to tell us about the potential for a spring 2020 CPAS web-based meeting?
Sure. There's a new doodle poll for everyone to fill out, and so please do so, and we will try and narrow down a couple of time periods to work for everybody. We narrowed it down to 2.5-hour periods. So fill out that doodle poll, and I'll get the results back ASAP.
Just a plea that we'll probably be able to get better attendance if it's later in the spring than earlier.
I think we pulled starting the end of May and the beginning of – end of April, beginning of May.
Yep.
So not during this critical period.
Good.
Okay. Adriana, do you have any updates or things you want to say on the data?
So I think one of the things is probably you know, I mean, I think like everybody else, it's sort of everything kind of in disarray. I will say for us for recruitment, we are not sending out saliva kits just because of health concerns in terms of people's potential risk, not so much the person providing the saliva sample, but actually the person handling that down the chain. So for all of our studies, we are not sending out saliva kits right now.
Okay, so people, Sarah, your update on
yep.
the publication?
I'm here. I can share my screen, perhaps. Okay, I'm not gonna, let's see. How's that look? Not so good for concept proposals or manuscripts submitted, but we do have a paper that Christina Ubin has gotten accepted in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience, I don't think it's actually available yet. I got this from the page proof, but it should be out shortly this month. So that's exciting. And then the Jacobsons also have a paper that just came out in alcoholism. So that's it. If you probably, if you guys are like me, you don't actually have any more free time than you did before. You might have less. But if you have content proposals to submit, please do so, and we will continue to keep track. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone have any really exciting research projects that they want or findings that they want to report on from their individual U01s or U24s?
This is Sarah again. We had Mike Suddy here just before everything kind of crashed. He was here for just 2 days in San Diego, and so we got started on the project where we're comparing the different 3D facial imaging techniques. Unfortunately, right before we're having to shut down our in-person data collection, but we will get that going. But the other thing we've done is we, as part of an administrative supplement, we have used machine learning to look at some of the decision tree data to see if we can improve the algorithm, and that's looking really promising. I don't have the graphs right in front of me, but we're continuing that, and I'm excited that it looks pretty good. And then finally, we just got last week the data from Phil May and the COFAST samples from his part of the COFAST project, and we're going to run that through the tree as part of that. Well, what we were going to present at RSA, but now we're not. So, but anyway, that's what we're up to.
Okay. In terms of the administrative core, I presented some of the things that's going on in CFAS about translating our findings from the lab into practical uses in the clinic at the Interagency Coordinating Committee. I wouldn't say it was my finest presentation, but I gave overviews of what Dance and I have been working on, Sarah's project, Jeff Wozniak, and Christy Petranko. Like I said, it wasn't my greatest talk. There was confusion over the timing that I had, but hopefully it went okay. I've gotten a couple inquiries since my talk, so we'll see how that goes.
Ed, since I was one of the few people there, I will say the talk went fine. I think you're just being a little critical of yourself, but
you would say that no matter what. So
no, I was there too, and I think it went fine.
Thank you, Claire.
Well, thank you, but I could have done better. So, all right, Tom Donaldson, how's all this COVID-19 affecting NOFAS? And I'm assuming that most things in the Congress have just come to a complete halt that deal with anything else.
Well, I think that is right, but you know, it doesn't stop everyone from trying to associate their issue with COVID-19 and the relief bills. But you know, we're doing well here at NOFAS. Everyone's is healthy and still moving forward. But we'll most likely, it's the NOFAS 30th anniversary. We'll most likely postpone a recognition of that in terms of our gala event and things like that for this year. But you know, we'll keep at it. And you know, there is a lot of, we've actually been approached by Republicans and Democrats in both chambers asking how those with FASD are affected by this. So we are being responsive to that.
Tom, can you say that again?
Yeah,
I didn't hear it.
Clear.
Sorry, I heard an echo there. We have been asked to describe how the COVID-19 and the coronavirus might be affecting those children and adults living with FASD. Okay. So we are sort of preparing a response to that, and of course would welcome any thoughts, any concepts that folks have.
Well, Tom, it's Joanne. So, I mean, the only thought is, and this is not news to the parents, that they do have some immune vulnerabilities, obviously, and so could be a little more vulnerable to the virus if exposed.
But that's sort of an open question at this point. So.
It's open whether they would be more vulnerable to the virus, but they do, many of them do have some underlying either immune conditions or vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
That's not a novel concept. The parents know this.
No.
Yes, yes. And of course, anyone with a disability often relies on others for care and support, and that can be a factor. So there are a number of things we want to point out, but increasingly, policymakers are going beyond just the direct needs and thinking about people with mental health issues, people with disabilities, and things like that. So we certainly want to be responsive.
They're more likely to be in jail, too, which means that they're,
yes,
where I suspect they're going to have a very bad problem with this virus.
Tom?
Yes.
I know that there are some people in here who are not within the funding of CFAS, but are interested in the probability of other funding in order to increase their clinic capacities and to, for example, I know Ken Jones wants to do more for the kids that he diagnoses in terms of providing services. So I know that there's this HRSA grant that's coming out. Do you know anything about those?
You know, really just what was shared at the ICC meeting.
So it's rumored, but we can't get our hands on it because we haven't been able to find it.
Well, I can certainly circulate the slide and the information that was shared, a couple of weeks ago. And the woman who presented, I have communicated with her, Don Levinson, at the Maternal and Child Health Bureau at HRSA, and I guess this was right after that meeting. So at the time, at least, the plan was April 1st for that to come out and be out for 60 days. I guess $1 million per year for 3 years to support addressing FASD in clinical settings.
Okay. Appreciate it if you could find that and send it to Jill and she'll circulate it.
Yes, I'll do that.
All right. Thanks. Any other updates? I hope, and I do hope, that everybody is healthy and staying home and doing all the things they're supposed to do and ordering their food online and all those good things. Every day feels like Groundhog Day. It's just a little bit different. Just a little bit different. But I wake up, read the paper, work. Have lunch, work, take a nap, eat dinner, work, watch TV.
Yeah, it's dull.
That's my day.
Yeah,
are you taking a walk?
I do. I get out and I walk around, although
my golf course, which is still open, but they've lifted the cup about an inch so that when you putt, if it hits the cup, it's in. So my score has dropped dramatically, although I've only played once because it's just too much of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And that was in the last 2 weeks. So.
They've closed them out.
Pardon?
I said they've closed them in New Mexico, or at least in Albuquerque, the golf
course. Yeah,
most
of the courses here are closed, too. No, I get out for walks, and I hope everybody is trying to stay healthy and doing all the good things and not eating too many carbs while they're at home. So I'm done. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to contribute to this call? I'm sure we all have other things we need to do, but open for discussion.
Well, if you're
going
to remove the carbs, it's just going to make it all the more troublesome to stay here. So.
Well, I have a very sufficient wine cabin, so I'm good.
This is Jill. Just a reminder that after you submit your progress report, so please email me a copy as well.
Any other issues?
Ed, this is Leah. I just wanted to remind everyone that they should have received an email from me with the link to their folder for the central repository, and they need to upload recent data if they have any recent data. Some people, like the Tories, they did all their genetics and they've uploaded it. They don't have anything more recent. And let me know. Send me an email if you need anything.
Thank you. And, you know, I'll just encourage everybody, since no one's running subjects that I know of anymore, that it's a good time to sit and write and get some of these data out so that CFAS can continue to maintain its publication rate and have a reasonable presence in the literature. So it's a good time to get some writing done. And if anyone's interested in the effect of FAS and COVID-D, that's probably a high priority area. I'm sure Tina's already writing her serotology paper or grant on COVID-D.
And her Voluma is pretty fun.
All right, anything else?
Nope.
Well, everybody stay safe. Have good days, good weeks ahead, and we'll all get through this, and CFAS will be back up and running in months or however long, maybe by Easter. So,
right.
Thank you, President Trump.
God, God help Anthony Fauci. That's all I can say.
Just remember, this call is recorded, okay? So watch what
you say. Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, so we'll all have a great Easter together. So you guys all have a good time, and if there's anything the admin corps can do, let me know, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Take care, have a good day, and stay safe and healthy.
Take care, all. Right.
Thanks. Stay safe.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.